This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. More than a million North Carolinians don't have health insurance. Many are priced out of traditional plans, even with the Affordable Care Act. But one cheaper option is getting more and more popular. It's called a health-sharing ministry. Faith-based organizations run these programs that help families pay their medical bills. But it's not considered insurance, so it's not regulated. WRAL investigated these health-sharing ministries and their role in North Carolina's healthcare landscape. WRAL Enterprise executive producer Ashley Talley and investigative producer Randall Kerr join me now in the studio to talk about their findings. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Good afternoon.
Thanks
for having us.
Good to have you here. Ashley, tell us how the health-sharing plan works.
Well, Randall can probably talk about this as well, but basically you pay, rather than a premium, the family signs up and they pay a monthly share. Once a year, that share goes to the company that they've signed up with. The other 11 months of the year, you pay your share directly to another family that's within the health sharing program that is going through medical need.
So, Randall, give us a sense of how this is organized and who administers all of this.
Well, there are several companies across the country that run these. The one that we focused on, the family that we focused on, they get their health coverage used loosely through a group called Samaritan Ministries. They're based out of Illinois, but they're a national group that, you know, according to their last tax document, they had $44 million a year in revenue. So essentially, they had $44 million a year coming in from their members in monthly shares for that 1 month they pay. So if you extrapolate that out, I mean, you're probably talking about close to $4 billion that they are sharing across the country with other families that have medical needs. It's a really interesting concept.
And what's the faith-based connection here? We hear Samaritan Ministries, but what's the tether here?
That's how these started. These started with church groups that looked out and said, we have members that can't afford health insurance, that have medical needs that they can't pay the bills. So they came up with the idea that why don't we start taking care of each other? There are some health share groups across the country that maybe aren't as religious as Samaritan Ministries is, but you know, the family that was a member of the group that we spoke with, to them it was really twofold for them.
Ashley, tell us more about that family.
Yes. So Mark Colley is the father that we spoke with. We knew that they had undergone this. Their son had a major medical. So I just looked him up. I found he's a freelance photographer, found a cell number, called him, and he was a little leery of going on air, but agreed to. And it's he and his wife. They live in Little Washington, so up, in the eastern part of the state. Mm-hmm. Four children. And last summer, they had a unexpected medical emergency. Randall went and met with them.
Yeah, quite a story. They were, it was last September, and they were at a community pool, and their 8-year-old son was swimming, and he came out of the water, and as Caroline Colley, the mother, described it, he got out of the pool and was holding his head right over his ears and said, "I have a headache. I'm going to die." And they initially thought, well, maybe he's dehydrated, maybe he's hungry, it's still hot outside, and it got worse and worse and worse, and they quickly drove him to Vidant, Beaufort County, to the ER, and they immediately life-flighted him to Vidant in Greenville, the main hospital. And as Mark Colley explained to us, just by the grace of God to them, one of the best neurosurgeons in the world just happened to be there that day and met their son, Blake. He had an aneurysm, so he was bleeding on the brain. They took immediate steps to stop the bleeding, but then they literally took weeks to drain the blood off of the brain. And I mean, it was really...
He was in the hospital 48 days, I think.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it was very tenuous. I mean, the parents took 12-hour shifts at the hospital, and I asked them, I said, every time you left the hospital, you knew leaving the hospital, that could be the last time. And they said, well, we thought about that, but we also, with their faith, because they are very, very strong, have very strong feelings in their faith, they believed. And after all this time in the hospital, he finally came out. It was actually something that we couldn't include in our story, but it was pretty powerful that Blake, their son, had undergone an MRI. And the doctors that were working that night came into the room, and they're like, we have some really bad news. I mean, this looks really bad. The Blake that you know, you may never have again. And they were using terms like inability to walk, talk, blind. So they were devastated. And Mark Colley, the father, is actually from South Africa. The wife was from here. So they figured out how they were going to reach out to their families to tell them this bad news. So she called her family immediately. He waited because of the time difference and called. And then that next morning, the neurosurgeon came in, and he had a jump in his step. And the father had been there all night, as he explained it, praying over his son. And the neurosurgeon said, this looks great. He looks fantastic. Much better. And so they questioned about it. They ended up turning off his medicine right there. Wow. And the doctor woke him up and said, Blake, can you give me a thumbs up? And wow. He gave a thumbs up. And that's when the dad said, he's turned a corner, and that's when he realized that he was going to have some medical expenses.
Yeah, that's the thing. Good news medically, but then he told you, Mark Colley did, about all of this. He understood that this was happening, but of course, when your son is in that kind of condition, here's what he said.
When your son is lying in a hospital bed with more things coming out of him and going into him than you can count or describe, the last thing you're thinking about is finances.
All right, so there it is. North Carolina resident Mark Colley talking about his son Blake's accident and his aneurysm. He came through it okay. He was part of a health-sharing plan from Samaritan Ministries. WRAL producers Ashley Talley and Randall Kerr are here. They reported on these faith-based healing sharing plans. So Ashley, was he paying into this at the time?
So previously they had health care through ACA, through Obamacare, and he said that had gotten priced out of it, that it was, I think, you know, $1,400 a month, something just that they couldn't do with a family of six. And somebody at their church had mentioned to them this organization. They looked into it, and at this point, had already been paying in. Right, Randall?
They had actually been members of mm-hmm. this health share for almost a decade, which is unbelievable because in our line of work, I had never heard of them before.
Never heard of it, yeah.
Right. But they'd been part of it for almost 10 years.
And it turns out in their case, Medicaid was able to cover this, right?
Absolutely. Blake was able to qualify under Medicaid, so they were able to get help that way. But they say on top of that the health share provided all the money that they needed that, you know, to cover what Medicaid didn't.
So this sounds like a really good thing, but there are some cautions that we need to think about here as your investigation turned up. Great story for the Colley family. It turned out very well, and they're very happy. Probably some other good stories that have played out in other places across North Carolina and the country, but there are some warning flags.
Certainly. The one main warning flag, particularly with the Colleys, is once he started looking into his medical bills, they were probably looking at $750 to $1 million. Samaritan Ministries, they cap their payments to families, which is called a family's need, at $250,000.
They have one tier that does that. I think about 58% of people choose to do that $250,000. You can pay more to get beyond that. So
they were still looking at, you know, $500,000 to $750,000 that they were willing to pay out of pocket. He was already thinking about getting on a payment plan, and that's when a social worker at the hospital said, well, based on your family size and income, Blake will qualify for Medicaid. So they went through that process. Blake qualified. All of his medical expenses were paid for, but the rest of the family remained.
So one of the real questions around all of this is that as these faith ministries and health plans through faith ministries are administered, the fact is they're not regulated, they're not considered insurance. And I know you talked to Mike Causey, who is the insurance commissioner for the state of North Carolina, about this very thing and got his thoughts. Here's what he said.
I believe in free choice. I believe in the free market. So it is an option, but we don't want people to be fooled into thinking they are insured.
That was North Carolina Insurance Commissioner Mike Causey commenting on faith-based health sharing plans, talking about those plans with WRAL producers Randall Kerr and Ashley Talley. What else did he say, Ashley?
Well, you know, I think that was a very diplomatic answer, like, oh, I'm all for, you know, open economy. But what he wanted to make sure that we knew and that people who are signing up for this know is this is not regulated. This is not something that if it doesn't pay something, the insurance commission has any way to make them do so. So many other several other states have already taken legal action against companies like this. Texas, Colorado got a cease and desist order. New Hampshire has actually ordered one of these businesses to stop doing business there because they say that it's operating as insurance without a license and misleading consumers. North Carolina has not done that. But Causey and we know Josh Stein has said they've received complaints, but didn't make it seem like, you know, didn't tell us how many, but not too many.
And what's the next step here in the state of North Carolina, do we know?
Yeah, Mike Causey's pushing for a little bit of regulation, but he just wants to make sure that these groups, he feels that they do fill a service. They just can't be false advertising, and that's where these groups have gotten into problems in other parts of the country. So for some families, if you're willing to take the risk on that medical cap, it certainly is an option.
Randall Kerr is an investigative producer at WRAL. Ashley Talley is an enterprise executive producer for WRAL as well. And you can find links to their reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Randall, Ashley, thank you so much for all your hard work.
Thanks for having us.